You found it. The best place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
4.5 minutes after 7 o'clock in the morning, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Boy, I'm glad we didn't dwell too long on the State of the Union yesterday. I mean, we reported to the listeners, the highs, the lows.
Got a couple of the highlights.
Yeah, and the low lights, of which there were many more. Anyway, the reason why I'm glad we didn't dwell on it is that TV ratings are in, and this was the lowest rated State of the Union address ever. About 11% of Americans watch the State of the Union, even though about at least half a dozen stations were carrying it.
Yeah.
I'd rather be there looking at Gretchen.
And I think Hank,
I guess Hank,
I don't think
didn't
Hank
watch.
Was tuned in.
I believe that Jay Leno referred to the speech as Lame Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, ever since Jay Leno, began facing, the last few months of his tenure,
yeah,
he's kind of begun to really open up with the anti-Obama humor.
And I think he's been doing it longer than that. But
Lame Duck Dynasty.
I would submit that for any of the late night comedy show writers and the people that put together jokes for the monologues, it's low-hanging fruit. They go for the easiest material, and certainly in the last year, there's been plenty to choose from based on the Obama administration.
Oh, absolutely.
And the Colbert line you played a little bit earlier was a perfect example.
We'll play that again later on in the show. It is a very busy morning here, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Now, Marina mentioned during her news report about this stolen truck chase from Tukwila, the West Seattle Bridge. And you want to get angry? Wait until it wasn't just the chaos and the West Seattle Bridge being shut down in the middle of the commute. It was the attitude and the behavior of the people in the stolen truck. Como 4's Kara Kostanich tracked the high-speed chase.
This all began around 6:15 this evening when a call came into the Tukwila Police Department about this stolen pickup truck. Officers located the vehicle around South Center Mall and attempted to make a stop. That's when police say the vehicle fled onto northbound I-5, taking a turn onto the West Seattle Freeway. But just west of the Admiral Way exit on the West Seattle Bridge, police say the truck lost control and smashed into the middle concrete barrier and spun around into oncoming traffic. As officers arrived at the scene, police say the driver then rammed a police cruiser head on. The three people in the truck all fled, including the female driver. After a short foot pursuit, all three people were taken into custody.
First of all, I hope that this woman who rammed the truck is charged with attempted murder. She rams a police car with the truck after the truck had already been in the accident, was facing oncoming traffic, basically after the game is up. She rams a police car. Phil, wasn't one of the police officers hurt?
Yeah, hospitalized, although expected to recover.
Right.
Yeah.
She should be charged with attempted murder. Here's something
that
else.
That was what I first thought, too. Oh, you try and ram a stolen vehicle. You've been fleeing 11 miles.
Automatic charge of attempted murder.
Yeah.
Secondly,
it's going to be getting into my in-the-head voice here at 7 in the morning.
You ram a police car. I think it's open season on you. I think the officers ought to pull their guns and fire so much lead into your car or truck that it recreates the last scene in Bonnie and Clyde.
Swiss cheese?
Not only do they have the right to shoot you if you ram up, they should shoot you in half.
And we've had the epidemic of car thefts around
this
area for a long time. Finally, Olympia lawmakers started to crack down. It's gotten moderately better. But far too often, these psychopaths steal a car, the police get on their tail, and they go berserk. Go on a freeway high-speed car chase?
I already know what the defense attorney is going to say. It's either going to be, well, really tragic, under the influence of alcohol and drugs, she acted crazy.
On meth. I can see it now.
Yeah, or there's mental health issues involved. And my response is, you know, there's a lot of people who do drugs. A lot of people who drink too much.
Yeah, a lot of people with mental problems that don't steal cars and race down the freeway.
And then when they're caught, when they're surrounded, they react by ramming the police car. The minute someone does something like that, I think officers should just pull their weapons and, you know, how many shots in this clip? Let's find out.
Yeah. Life sentence for anybody.
And, you know, to hell with the Justice Department if they don't like it.
There we go. Flees from police officers like that.
By the way, did you notice that the former police chief of Sacramento, who had taken himself out of the running to be police chief of Seattle, now says he's interested in the job? The reason why this matters, if you wonder just what a terrible mayor Mike McGinn was, they needed a new police chief, and they were down to three people. The police chief of East Palo Alto was a relatively small police department. John Diaz, who was a lifer. And then there was Rick Brazil. I think that's how you pronounce his name, Brazil, who was a longtime chief with Sacramento Police Department, had been with them for three decades. And I had heard, but unfortunately it was told to me off the record, so I couldn't share with you on the air, that Brazil was so dismayed by his meeting with Mike McGinn that he walked out of his office, flew home, and said, I would never think of taking a job in that department. Mike McGinn actually wanted the police chief to report to an aide. I mean, just, okay, look, he's gone now. You know, the exorcism has happened. He's vanquished. He's out of our system. But if you're wondering just how bad he was, this guy in Sacramento is, what I hear, for the most part, pretty good people. Good guy. But, you know, good talent was not exactly, at least when it came to government, was not exactly drifting in this direction. That's the other thing about Seattle. If you want a perfect, vivid contrast between the superiority of the public sector to the private sector, you know, look at what's happening in the private sector in Seattle and compare and contrast with Shama Sawant and Seattle City Hall and city government over the last few years. Anyway, it is 13 minutes after 7 o'clock. Let us hope that this idea in San Francisco doesn't come to Seattle City Hall soon, though I fear it might. KPIX-TV in San Francisco reporting that the latest trend in San Francisco is to hand out free crack pipes. Barbara Garcia, director of the San Francisco Department of Public Health, said that the distribution of free crack pipes is a recommendation from a community groups. We get lots of different kinds of recommendations. That recommendation has not come from me. And I'm telling you that if it did, I would say absolutely no, we are not going to distribute crack pipes. We have a lot of things to consider for those who are using crack for improving their health. And the distribution of crack pipes is not something I'm going to consider. Close quote. So being opposed to the open and free distribution of crack pipes has become the de facto conservative position in San Francisco. Laura Thomas, a member of the HIV Prevention Planning Council in San Francisco, says San Francisco has a long history of being at the cutting edge of things. We've turned out to be very right on. I'd like to see this one be another of those things we were right about before the rest of the country catches on. Why give out free crack pipes? Because they say the sharing of crack pipes, while it doesn't have the same likelihood of spreading illness, like, say, a used needle with the needle exchange, they said the main focus of the program would be outreach. Well, first, we'll give them free crack pipes. And then we'll establish a relationship with them and get them to reconnect with medical services. Oh, I see. So, yeah, my first reaction to this was, San Francisco pioneered the needle exchange, giving heroin addicts free needles so they can have a safe fix, so to speak. Why are they complaining about free crack pipes? And, of course, the point they make is, because the issues are different. You know, if you share a needle with a HIV-positive heroin addict, you could end up HIV yourself. It's not the same issue with crack. No, what they're trying to do is they're basically, in San Francisco, trying to make crack mainstream. I mean, that's when you get down to it, that's what this is all about. Try and make crack safer. You are listening. So let's see how long it takes. Okay, now it is the last week of January. Let's see how long it takes before this becomes a formal recognized program in Seattle. I'm not talking about, people doing it as individuals, but before community groups, air quotes, or, public health organizations, air quotes again, begin recommending the free distribution of crack pipes in Seattle like they now are down in San Francisco. It is 16 minutes after 7 o'clock. Good morning, everybody. The Commute with Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI.